In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. From Nathan's prophecy to David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And Jeremiah, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king. Imagine we are living in first century Palestine, a country occupied by the Romans for the last 60 odd years. We are Jews, and for the purpose of this sermon, we attend the synagogue every week. We hear the readings from the prophets, from Samuel and from Jeremiah. We hear of a golden age when Israel was one under King David. We know that Yahweh promised to David that his line would last forever. And we hear the covenant language of that promise. And we know that Yahweh will keep his promise. From a small village in Galilee, Galilee so far north that it is sometimes called Galilee of the Gentiles, comes Jesus of Nazareth, an itinerant preacher. Wherever he goes, a mob gathers to hear him. He'll stay a few days and then disappear back into the wilderness until the next time. The whispers begin. This is the heir of David, of King David, whose line was to rule forever. Nathan said so. Jeremiah said so. This man is chosen by Yahweh to lead his people. He is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. It's no surprise everybody got it so wrong. We want our land back from the Romans. This man who is a king like David will lead a rebellion in the land which Yahweh promised to us. It will be ours again. But there was another role filled by the house of David, which we have forgotten. Their role in the salvation history of Israel, the history of communication between Yahweh and his people. When we read the Old Testament, what strikes us is that Yahweh in general speaks to Israel through an agent, through Moses and the Torah, the judges, the prophets, priests, and the monarchy. But why a monarchy when we have the Torah, when prophets and priests abound? Why a monarchy when Yahweh is the Lord of all creation, the Lord above all earthly lords, the only Lord? Because Israel asked for one. Because Israel nagged Yahweh until he actually gave in. Yahweh granted a king to Israel in response to their demands to be like other nations, to have a focus of unity and an earthly protector when her survival was threatened by the surrounding kingdoms. The king became this focus of unity, the protector and temporal mediator between Yahweh and Israel. But what we have forgotten was that the mediator between Yahweh and Israel also had a sacred role, a role in the salvation history of Israel, because it was through him that the covenant operated. A complex story of the house of David, telling of its foundation and acceptance by Yahweh as mediator, has to be untangled from the many-layered writing of the books of Samuel and Kings. What emerges from all the politics is a story of mediation, which was not through the Torah, it was not conditional on keeping Mosaic law, it did not involve prophets, and was not dependent on priestly interpretation. It was a flawed mediation, because the house of David was flawed, but covenant was cut between Yahweh and Israel through the Davidic line. Like the covenant with Abraham, it was an unconditional covenant. I will establish. I will raise up. when Jesus was asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Secular kingship is assumed. He is the one who will lead Israel to victory against the Romans. Now, I don't know, and nor does anyone else, when the role of Jesus as a sacred mediator was recognized. Sometime between the beginning of his ministry, but before the middle of the first century CE, a connection was made between Jesus the Christ and David of Bethlehem. And as a consequence, it made sense for the first Christians to use Davidic imagery when they told the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Christ. And throughout the Gospels, Acts, the Epistles, Romans, Revelation, Jesus is referred to as a shepherd who commissions Peter to tend my lambs and to feed my sheep. David, the shepherd boy, whose role in the salvation history of Israel was both sacred and secular, became, in the Christian narrative, a type of, a pattern for, Jesus the Christ. Feast of Christ the King is an early 20th century addition to the liturgical year. In the aftermath of the First World War, its intent was to celebrate the kingship of Christ as the Prince of Peace, whose kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, to celebrate that his kingship was given to him by the Father, that he was present at creation, and with the Father and the Spirit, has dominion over and is the King of all creation. And this is correct. But I'd like to point out to suggest that we have still lost sight of the sacred mediator role of the Davidic kings, the role which was perfected in Christ. How does Christ the Son mediate between humanity and the Father? We need to go back to covenant language, the language of the covenant to Abraham. I am your God, and you are my people. I instigate this covenant, so only I can break it. Yahweh, though he seems often to have been exasperated by them, did not break covenant, did not give up on Israel. And the Davidic covenant? I will raise up your offspring after you. I will establish his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king forever. The Davidic covenant is, as I've said, an unconditional covenant. I will establish, I will raise up. I, the Lord God, have cut covenant. I have instigated this, not you. Christ was and is the ultimate mediator between humanity and God. I, as many of you know, am not a fan of any form of atonement, any way of describing the salvific act of Christ, which does not leave space for free will, for freedom of action, for us to acknowledge responsibility for our actions and for our repentance. So I would suggest that Christ's salvific act, that he's dying for us, was to open and to keep open until the eschaton, the end of time, an unbreakable channel of communication between God and humanity. We pray to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit. And because of the incarnation, because of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Christ, there is nothing we can do which will stop this communication. God did not give up on Israel, whose mediator was human. He will not, whatever mess we, the new Israel, make of it, give up on humanity, the people for whom Christ mediates. Amen.